light. Donald Trump is the president. Maybe there is hope for Rivers of Light. Once Upon a Time debuted at the Magic Kingdom this week. At least someone made some valid projections. Baked potatoes have left Liberty Square, and no, they didn't go to Canada. You've read WDW News Today. Now you'll experience WDW News Tonight.
Fake applause! Woo! Yeah!
Projections.
Yeah. Projections. Oh, people trying to predict the election is like us trying to predict the Rivers of Light start date.
Not going to happen.
I think I've been about as wrong as many times as CNN was yesterday. Anyway, welcome to WDW News Tonight. I'm Tom Corliss, and you're not. Nicholas Cicero over there in the control room in the production booth. Jason Diffendahl somewhere out there.
Woo-hoo!
Yep.
A crazy
24 hours, Nick.
Oh,
it has been in America. I know. I say America because I actually met one of our international viewers at the Christmas party the other night. So I have to remember that this show is on YouTube and readily available to anyone in the world. So for those of you outside of the U.S., I'm sure you have heard we've had a crazy election day.
You think?
Yeah, just a little bit. I'm sure you've heard about it in your economy, but nonetheless. It's been, and you worked very late. Obviously, you work here at the station. This is a station that mostly covers politics.
Election HQ right here. Yeah, it was
fun. So what were you until 2:30 in the morning?
2:30 last night, yeah. Left around 3 right after Trump's speech, and, you know, we did it up nice here.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was cool being around people and cool being in the thick of it.
Yeah. And obviously, it's been a rough election season for everyone, so hopefully we'll give you a little bit of escape this evening. That being said, obviously, in WDWNT fashion, we'll poke fun at things going on in the real world.
Just a little bit.
Nick, now the news!
Yes!
Brought to you by TeePublic, of course.
The news.
With the results of the U.S. presidential election now official, it is now a certainty that a Donald Trump audio animatronic figure will join the ranks at the opening day Magic Kingdom attraction, the Hall of Presidents. That's just how it works, folks. He is going to be president. It is the Hall of Presidents. So probably should go there like crepes at the Aristocrepes. It just makes just makes sense. The attraction, of course, includes every U.S. president in history.
Everyone. Even the bad ones.
Yeah, even the bad ones. Nixon. Nixon was actually was president when the Hall of Presidents opened. Fun fact. Yeah.
Nice.
Many have said they will not be going to see the Hall of Presidents once this happens. Yeah, I'm sure you're all going now. Yes, it's a problem they have at the Hall of Presidents. Long lines to see it. Yes. That's like saying you're boycotting Stitch's Great Escape. You already aren't going there.
Funny story, quick story, interrupting the news. So we had this past week, because, you know, all the election stuff, we had a guy by the name of John Morgan. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. He is the world's finest George W. Bush impersonator.
Yeah.
And he was here, looked spot on, looks exactly like him. Talks exactly like him. And I was talking to him. He was like, you know, in and out of character there. And I was like, you know, I really love your performance down at the Magic Kingdom at the Hall of Presidents. And he said, fun story. He's actually, because he lives in the Orlando area, he's actually gone down there a few times just to kind of hang out in the lobby. And he looks around and people kind of notice him and like, oh, is that really?
Because he looks just like him.
Just like him. So people, he's noticed that before when he sees the whispers and everything. And he does it for fun. And I asked him, do you ever want to try on the boots there? Because George W.'s boots are in there.
Boots are there, yeah.
He throws his foot up on the table. He has a replica pair of those boots that he wears around.
That man is dedicated to his craft.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
So if you ever see W. in the Hall of Presidents, it probably isn't him.
There you go.
Just, you know, if you ever see Lincoln, it probably isn't him either.
Okay.
Probably not.
Yeah, he might be dead. So the other question, of course, is there's a lot of questions, but among them, will Donald Trump have a speaking part in the attraction? What other changes will be made to the show? And how big will the audio animatronics hands be?
Good question.
Of course, with the it's the dumbest show. With the election of Bill Clinton in 1993, Disney started adding current presidents with speaking roles. Clinton, Bush, and Obama all had these starring roles, but of course, the question is, will Trump? Certainly, there was a lot of uncertainty when George Bush was added to the attraction, but Disney still went through with it.
So close race.
Most likely, even if hashtag not my hall of presidents, you will likely be seeing Donald Trump speaking at the Magic Kingdom in the Hall of Presidents.
I see a T-shirt.
Hashtag not my hall of presidents. Yes. We'll make it happen. Don't forget, make the movie ride great again. Our greatest selling shirt of all time. Either way, if you enjoy the A Celebration of Liberty's leaders version of the Hall of Presidents, if you enjoy, tis a damn poor bind indeed that can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
Yes.
Don't know if that's going or not.
Oh, that would be tragic.
You have until January 17th to see it at the Magic Kingdom. The Trump Hall of Presidents will make its debut in late June 2017. And rumor is it's going to be huge.
Yes.
Couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. Well, now they have nowhere to put that Ellen animatronic. What are they going to do with the Ellen animatronic now? What I want
would have been the perfect repurpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Disney has announced, this was big news this week, Disney has announced that they will have a drone-related nighttime show at Disney Springs for the holiday season. A drone, flying drone, Christmas light show. Jason, we have that video, maybe? Hopefully the drones are better at not hitting each other than the cars in the parking lot. No. That happens a lot at Disney Springs. All right, I'll move on.
If you're watching on YouTube.
Well, you can see it. Yeah, this is them testing it out.
There you go.
Jason, if you skip forward a little bit to the tree, they make a Christmas tree in the air.
Yeah, that is
it looks special. Like it's going to be neat. I'm really surprised they're doing it at Disney Springs.
Look at that.
Because the parking situation there already is kind of rough, even though they added all that parking. This is going to draw some people, but I think they felt the pressure. They had to replace Osborne in some way with something high-tech and cool and different using lights for Christmas, and they did it. So we'll see how it is, but it's coming. Look to the stars soon at Disney Springs. According to the Orlando Sentinel, Walt Disney World is experimenting with using iPhones to track its custodial workers and direct them to do specific tasks. Maybe they can direct them to stop drawing characters and actually clean up some garbage.
Wow. Bit harsh.
I swear, I say this all the time. I've seen it a million times where there's like just a pile of garbage on the ground, but they're 10 feet away just drawing characters. And I'm like, I appreciate that you do this really fun, cool thing, but your primary job is cleaning up garbage. Please, I don't want to look at that.
Magical moment.
Yeah. Gotta the new system called the Custodial of Tomorrow began
Stop
as
it.
A test of 40 employees at the Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland. At least something in Tomorrowland is futuristic.
Please tell me that name's a joke.
No, it is. That's it. That's the real name.
Wow.
Workers who clock in will receive iPhones, which they have to return at the end of their shifts. From the people who brought you Tapu Tapu at Volcano Bay, a system of electronic sensors will determine when a restroom needs cleaning or a garbage can needs emptying, or if a Brazilian tourist just peed all over the floor. A certain number of people entering a bathroom will trigger a search for the nearest available custodian.
Wait, come on.
And sensors will be tripped when trash cans get to about 3/4 filled.
Wow.
The real thing, yeah. This is something they do. Sports stadiums and things have this kind of stuff.
The iPhone thing is like, Agent P's showcase adventure for janitorial staff.
I'm sure they look at it as a game. Needless to say, the union game is fighting it, but it's happening.
Slap Doofenshmirtz on there.
Disney Evil Incorporated. Anyway.
All those plots have to do with trash.
Back in July, we told you that the NBA presence at Disney Springs was likely canceled.
Mm-hmm.
As of this week, Disney is telling cast members that Disney Quest will remain open into 2017.
You're right.
Despite being removed from annual passes, Disney Quest has no closing in sight as Disney continues to have problems finding a tenant for the building. Cast members were originally told Disney Quest would close sometime in 2016, but in fairness, they were also told Rivers of Light would debut in 2016. So, yeah.
Not too good with dates.
Neither are you.
Wow.
That was weird. I'm sorry. Anyway.
I don't know. That was good.
All right.
But with the virginity joke from earlier.
Nope. All right.
Yeah.
Pizza Rizzo, the classic family pizzeria owned by Rizzo, will open in the Muppets Courtyard on November 18th. While enjoying personal-sized pies with family-sized heartburn, guests will find decor inspired by Rizzo, as well as his extended family and friends who have visited Pizza Rizzo over the years throughout the two-story eatery. Be sure to head upstairs to Rizzo's Deluxe Supreme Banquet Hall, where there's a wedding reception already in progress. Nick, we can go be bitter here.
All right.
We should go.
Cheers.
You could join the party and show off your best moves under the disco ball, because you'll definitely feel like dancing after you eat counter service pizza.
Last thing I want to do.
Yeah, no, you probably just want to crawl and die somewhere. It's more likely. Entrees are served with a side Caesar salad and include... personal-sized pizza pies available in four varieties. Cheese, pepperoni, meat lovers, and what the hell is that? Oh, I think it's vegetable. as well as a gut-wrenching meatball sub.
Mm.
It's like a roller coaster for your stomach. If you're looking for a lighter option, eat somewhere else. No, if you're looking for a lighter option, the antipasto salad features a bed of romaine lettuce piled high with tomatoes, mozzarella, Kalamata olives, ham, pepperoni, salami, and what Disney calls balsamic vinaigrette.
Can't go wrong with that. Yes.
For dessert, you can indulge in traditional Italian sweets prepared in the least traditional way, microwave. And specialty drinks will also be available. Just in case your food is bad enough, there are alcoholic options. So there you go. Pizza Rizzo. Yay! This is the positivity you all needed in your lives tonight.
Yeah.
Guests can now book a private water taxi from the Grand Floridian and Spa. It isn't on a yacht, though, so most Grand Floridian guests are complaining. The Walt Disney World Resort has always offered complimentary watercraft service to and from the resort, but will now offer an additional paid program for those who think other people are icky. The service departs from the Grand Floridian can be used by guests traveling any destination around the Seven Seas Lagoon, including the Catalina Wine Mixer.
This is amazing.
It is, however, warned that private return service from the Magic Kingdom may not be available due to regular boat traffic.
This is part of the reason why we're having our discussion tonight.
Yeah, we have a big discussion about value and pricing and quality at Walt Disney World tonight. It's going to be really interesting. We're going to open the phone lines, and I think it's one of the, you know, every once in a while we try to cover some sort of hard-hitting real topic on this show outside of the fun parts. Tonight, I think we're gonna jump into some really interesting stuff based on comments we've been collecting, or Nick has been aggregating over the last couple months since we've been doing the comment segments.
You know, it's something people talk about that we don't, you know.
Yeah, everybody says I'm not going to go anymore, and it's not worth my money, and it's more expensive, and they're getting rid of. There's so much to talk about later in the show.
Well, we don't write about these things either necessarily on the website.
Yeah, because it's more editorial kind of thing, but that's why we have this show. This show is meant to do things like that, and we will later tonight. But anyway. The service can accommodate up to 10 guests per boat and cost $20 each way per family. The private experience is available throughout the day based on availability, and reservations can be made now.
Crazy.
Meanwhile, guests staying at the Polynesian can now reserve the Oasis pool patio shade structures that are kind of like a cabana, I guess, for a half day or full day starting November 13th. Don't people staying at deluxe resorts throw enough shade already?
Wow, that's good. I just learned what that was the other day.
You don't know what throwing shade is?
Well, now I do.
Did Zoe teach you?
Actually, she did.
I was going to say, that's definitely a Zoe thing. She's so hip and cool.
She actually said that Tsum Tsum was throwing shade, because apparently Han Solo is throwing some shade towards the Greedo Tsum Tsum. And I was like, oh, yeah, no clue.
Throwing
and
some shade.
Look that up, and it's, now I know. Now I use it all the time.
I'm sure you do. They will be able to be reserved for $25 for a half day, $40 for a full day, and reservations can be made by calling the Reservation Center, DVC Member Services, or through the a la carte at Resort Concierge.
So are you saying if I walked over there and sat in there, if no one was there, they'd kick me out?
I don't know if there's no one booked for the day if they're going to enforce it.
Are they roped at all?
I don't know. We'll see on the 13th. I'll have to check it out. I don't know.
Hmm.
It is simply includes a rental of the space, no additional amenities included. There you go.
You get the pool?
There's a pool, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's probably people in the pool. But you don't get anything included. It's not like renting a cabana.
Can I pay extra to have the pool to myself?
Walt Disney World, if you pay enough, you could probably do anything.
There you go. Yeah, can I get a taxi service to take me from one pool side of the pool to the other?
There you go. They just put a guy in there to push you on a raft, amazing. Just push you across the pool.
$20.
It'll be $20, sir. The AMC Theaters at Disney Springs will begin offering pre-selected seating beginning November 7th.
7th?
Yeah, 7th. All the theaters at the AMC will allow guests to choose seats when buying tickets online and in person. Sadly, they won't show you if you're sitting next to Nick LoCicero, though. So, just got to get lucky.
And you might.
Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration debuted at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party on Monday. A lot of merry. The new Castle stage show includes... No bam. It includes a musical number about texting and Snapchat that some are claiming will likely become dated fairly quickly. You know, Nick, I kind of agree, but especially the one part that's really going to get dated, there's that part about Hillary Clinton leading by 12%.
Oh.
So I think that part, that part's really dated.
Get that out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might want to remove that.
Jason, we have that video? Are we going to pull up that video? It's not showing to people right now. I see you playing it, but people can't see that. Or, no, you didn't even hit play. Never mind now. I have one more joke. Hold on. We could keep watching. Pretend that didn't happen, folks. The show also included the three caballeros. I say included because Donald Trump already had them deported. So, illegal caballeros. Anyway, they're bad hombres. Those caballeros.
Even Donald or just two of them?
Donald has legal. Dual citizenship. Yeah. Don't be ridiculous.
Pretty sure Donald's legal.
Look at this. Look at this. It's like watching a stop-motion movie right now. Anyway, I love this guy in the silver suit. It's such a ridiculous show. Other than the texting song, I like it. It's pretty good otherwise, but the texting song is weird. Anyway. The baked potato has been a staple of Liberty Square Market of the Magic Kingdom for decades, dating back to when the location was originally sponsored by Idaho Potatoes. Well, now they are gone from that location. The menu does not feature the famous park snack any longer, nor the corn on the cob. Now, before you start freaking out, the baked potato has moved to another location. That makes sense. The Aristocrapes.
No.
I'm joking.
Okay.
It's actually a Sleepy Hollow refreshment along with the sweet and spicy chicken and waffle sandwich. So there you go. From a gala dine around at California Grill high atop Disney's Contemporary Resort to celebrations around World Showcase at Epcot and the waterfront at Narcoossee's, there are lots of ways to ring in the new year at Walt Disney World. Several upscale dining offerings being offered New Year's Eve this year. There's the California Grill New Year's Eve dinner with spectacular views of the Magic Kingdom Park. This dine around style gala features cooking stations throughout the restaurant, plus a host of Disney characters will make appearances. The event takes place from 7:30 p.m. until midnight. The price, $650 per person. That's more than four tickets to Disney After Hours. You could take your whole family to Disney After Hours.
It's like 60 Dole Whip.
That's an annual pass, a non-Florida like resident annual pass.
I'm horrible at math.
It's more than Donald Trump spent on 30-second ads.
That is true.
Anyway.
That's very true.
Anyway. Victoria and Albert's New Year's Eve dinner is going to be offered as well with butler-style service. That's $600 per person. New Year's Eve at Epcot's World Showcase, considerably cheaper. There are fun vignettes for posing, no characters, Disney tunes and food. From 3 to 9 p.m., they offer various seatings. $72.90 for adults, $44.38 for children. And, of course, afterward, you can watch Illuminations. Monsieur Paul is also offering a dining package, which is priced at $305.03 because it's the fanciest looking number. $305.03. Who priced that?
I don't know.
It needs to be $305.03. Anyway, there's also a Narcoossee's New Year's Eve dinner as well, which is cheaper for the earlier seating but more expensive for the later because you can see fireworks from there. There you go. Lots of offerings.
Fancy number.
Yeah, shut up.
3 cents.
Shut up. It is.
Like, need that 3 cents.
Yeah.
Nice cup.
Anyway, thank you. It's my the 45th anniversary Starbucks.
Yeah.
Cup
Did
of the week.
Pour your Starbucks into that? No, you got Perrier.
No. Right. We finished. Yeah. Now I sound like a real douche. Did you pour your Starbucks in, or is it your Pellegrino?
What? You were hiding that?
It is true.
You don't want people to know?
That I'm sitting here drinking Pellegrino? Not really. Kind of douchey, anyway.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, your Run Disney medals?
Excuse me?
Around your neck there?
Yeah, yeah, me, Run Disney.
Look,
yeah,
we already know. I have nothing to hide.
All right.
I have nowhere to go.
Holidays around the pre-existing Food and Wine Festival is coming to Epcot. They're going to be adding more food and drink.
I just got that. Yeah. That's good.
They're adding food and wine style booths to the Holidays Around the World event. Booths used during the annual Food and Wine Festival will be converted, making this the third event to use the kiosks every year. Stop at Prost in Germany. They'll have red cabbage and spatzel, alcoholic ciders, and more. American Holiday Table has a whole bunch of fun stuff, including shipyard eggnog. There is Fire Nog, which is eggnog with Fireball whiskey.
Yeah, bring it.
Fire Nog is also the name of a popular holiday entertainer on OBT, though. I don't know if you knew that. There it is. The OBT joke of the week. Alpine Haas between Morocco and France, because nothing says Morocco like the Alps. There's dumplings and roasted Brussels sprouts. There's cheese fondue. Seasonal Southern Delights has a Hoppin' John, which I think is also something from OBT. There's blackened catfish with white cheddar grits and okra. There's a frozen s'mores drink. Feast of the Three Kings will have shredded beef tamale and avocado crema, roasted pork, coquito, which is a coconut milk. They also have that with a rum floater. Hot and cold drinks will be offered all around World Showcase, including including sweets such as the Mickey Santa Hat Cupcake at Fountain View, chocolate honey baklava in Morocco, the panettone in Italy, that's Christmas, Italian Christmas cake, which, Nick, I can't believe you didn't know what that was.
You know, maybe I just don't know the name. I'd have to try it. I bet you I've had it.
Okay. And more. There's Beijing-style fried dough twist with sesame Ooh. In China and guava tamales in Mexico.
Right.
You might want to get those before the wall goes up.
Anyway. When does this kick off?
Black Friday.
Oh, okay. November
25th. Cool. Yeah. So before we kick off our 45-hour show, I'm going to be heading to Epcot to try all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-gaming. You know, Nick, one of the most fun things about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at the Magic Kingdom is the endless servings of hot chocolate and snickerdoodle cookies you've always enjoyed. But starting this year, there are new complimentary treats available, including the hot chocolate and snickerdoodle cookies. There's now eggnog and ginger snap molasses cookies,
Ooh.
A snow cone and snowman sugar cookie, spiced apple cider, and hot chocolate as well as peppermint bark cookie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So what's good here? You went.
They all suck.
Really?
I like the gingerbread. The gingerbread molasses cookie was good. The rest were all pretty bad.
Really? The peppermint bark?
Yeah, I like the eggnog. Okay. I like having a cold beverage. Yeah. It's nice for a change. It does get a little warm here in Florida, so it was nice for a change. But anyway, God, we're still doing news. There's a lot. We've been off for a week, so there's a lot. D23 is inviting members to celebrate the magic of the holiday season at Disney Springs with reserved seating for Walt Disney World Holiday Services Q&A, shopping discounts and merchandise, delicious treats, and a few holiday surprises. The event is being held on Tuesday, December 13th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Guests in attendance will have the opportunity to pick up complimentary cup of hot cocoa and exclusive sweet treat, as well as shop at various locations along the way. All attendees will receive a D23 reusable souvenir mug and some additional surprises. The surprise is a store in town center that makes a sale. There's also a separate ticketed event the same evening, a private moonlit meal at STK Orlando. Not that it's hard to have a private meal at STK Orlando.
Wow.
Do you know what they call a private meal at STK Orlando, Nick?
What's that, Tom?
Tuesday. Anyway.
I like how you used both of them. You asked me which one was better.
I had to fit that in. It was too good. I hate it.
Yeah.
Continuing the seasonal celebration, members have the opportunity to gather under the moonlight for the festive meal at the newly opened and soon to close STK Orlando at Disney Springs.
Not that I hear any of these jokes beforehand.
No. D23 attendees. No, these are all spur of the moment. There's no script. I don't look down for any reason.
No.
D23 attendees will enjoy a 3-course meal personally designed in the spirit of the holiday gatherings. In addition, guests will receive specially crafted holiday-inspired cocktails strong enough to make them forget how bad STK is. Throughout the meal on the private outdoor patio, guests will have the opportunity to spend time with fellow Disney fans as well as Disney luminaries and special guests and vomit onto guests below. In the spirit of the season, all attendees will receive an exclusive one-of-a-kind set of historic holiday gift holiday cards selected from the Walt Disney Archives. One of the cards says, "Sorry you had to eat here. Everywhere else was booked." The event is open.
Even the Aristocrates?
Only to Gold and Gold family members, but the regular event is open to Gold members on November 14th and then all other D23 members on November 21st. Beginning today, Aristocrapes, they made some menu changes again, but recently both them and Emirates adjusted their menus. Guests visiting the Aristocrapes will now find popcorn, Mickey pretzels and cheese, assorted chips and beverages, but crepes have since returned in a limited capacity. It was really nice of Edgar to return them. You get it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Amaret's Patisserie, meanwhile, is serving a mix of savory and sweet crepes to make up for the void created by the Aristocrapes menu change.
I like how when I don't laugh at the joke, you are automatically assumed I don't get it, not that it wasn't funny.
Yeah. Yeah. The operating hours for Amaret's Patisserie were also adjusted recently. The location is now open from 3 to 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday through Sunday. The much-awaited Disney Parks' first Marvel-themed ride, the Iron Man Experience, presented by AIA, will launch at Hong Kong Disneyland on January 11th. For the first time, this new ride-through attraction is featuring a story based in Hong Kong. Guests will be able to soar through Hong Kong skies alongside Iron Man and battle the evil forces of China. Hydra, in a multi-sensory immersive motion experience. Quote, Hong Kong Disneyland is excited to bring the first ever Marvel-themed ride in a Disney park to Hong Kong, said Samuel Lau, Executive Vice President and Managing Director of Hong Kong Disneyland Resort. The Iron Man experience is a unique immersive motion experience using Hong Kong as the story background for the very first time. We're proud to give local and overseas guests a different perspective and experience of Hong Kong while promoting our vibrant city to the world at the same time, because nothing makes me want to go to Hong Kong like watching robots blow it up. The eminent innovator and pioneer Tony Stark has selected Tomorrowland in Hong Kong to host the Stark Expo, where he will show off his latest high-tech creations in various exhibition halls. The Hall of Legacy, the Hall of Protection, the Hall of Energy. Oh, so that's where it's going to go. After it leaves the Hall of Mobility, the Hall of Presidents, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences Hall of Fame, and the hallway at Disney's Boardwalk Inn. Guests will be among the first to explore Tony Stark's latest innovations up close, such as the Water Park Magic Band ripoff, and then fly in a gravity-defying Iron Wing flight vehicle from the Iron Man experience. The park has spent over 3 years in design to design and create the Iron Man experience, complete with flight simulators, 3D projection, surround sound, and other special effects that will immerse guests in the Marvel story of a battle with evil forces of Hydra, all while recycling Star Tours. The park and hotel restaurants will also be prepared with more than 25 Iron Man-themed food and beverage choices.
Wow.
Among the delectable choices are an Iron Man waffle, an Iron Man stein, Iron Man desserts, and Iron Man beverages served at the resort hotels. Man, you're going to need an iron stomach after all of this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a lot
Iron
of stuff.
Man waffle.
I like it.
They had that at Disneyland, the Iron Man waffle. I'm sorry, are we getting a phone call? WW News Tonight. Oh, no, it's the bat phone. It's the other one. Anyway, I'll keep going then. Disney Parks will officially kick off the holiday season on television earlier than ever this year with 3 musical holiday specials, because the usual one is so good. Shot at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort, each of the three shows will feature special musical performances and celebrity appearances. There's the Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration on November 24th on ABC. The Disney Parks presents a Descendants Magical Holiday Celebration.
Yeah.
On Disney Channel, November 25th.
Descendants 2 on the way.
Yeah. And then the Disney Parks Magical Christmas Celebration. Could just somebody name something different, please? Like, these all have almost the same name. That's on December 25th. No more parade this year, which is fitting because Walt Disney World almost doesn't have any.
We could throw in the BAM if you'd like.
You don't even get that for Christmas parade.
Let me make you feel better?
The Disney Parks Magical Christmas BAM Celebration.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Nick, that's the news.
The news.
Who brings us the news?
That's going to be TeePublic. Don't forget to shop apparel and accessories for Disney fans through WDWNT.com and TeePublic. Just go to WDWNT.com and click on the TeePublic link to shop from hundreds of designs for T-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including the exclusive WDW News Today logo apparel and original creations such
as... Save the Dinos!
Save the Dinos.
Jason, can we show them Save the Dinos? It's a new one.
Oh.
Have you not seen this?
No.
Jason, show them the artwork.
Can we zoom into that? I don't know.
Well, but there's the second one, which is the art.
There we go.
So, fun story. Yeah. So, the O there, you can see it's the original Universe Energy logo.
Sure
in there,
is.
There's a dinosaur. It's actually ripped from the original Epcot Center coloring book.
Oh.
It's really neat. We colored it in. It's really cute.
I like
anyway, I digress.
No, that's awesome. So you can grab that one. If you're watching the video of the show live on YouTube or at the website, you could check that out. It's showing some of the shirts right now. We have the Tom Clarice Mean Tweets. We have Make the Movie Ride Great Again. Lots of good stuff there. Go check it out. You know what? That might be a good thing to do while we take a quick break. Head over to WDWNT.com. Start shopping today by clicking the TeePublic link. TeePublic, an official partner of WDW News Tonight. And, of course, as always, it would help us out a little bit by going through our link.
Still to come, Nick, thank you notes. We got thank you notes. We got the Price is Right new pricing games we've never done before.
Debuting
tonight, our big discussion on value at Walt Disney World, which is going to be pretty interesting. All that and more coming up, WDW News Tonight. Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. We are live on AM 1520 WBZW in Orlando, online at listen.wdwnt.com in WDWNT, the app, and, of course, on YouTube as well. Thank you, as always, for joining us tonight. Glad you could be with us. Again, we're going to have The Price is Right, WDWNT, The Price is Right, brought to you by Theme Park Connection, coming up in just a few minutes. Brand new pricing games. Nick, we got some cool prizes tonight. Want to show everybody?
Yeah, we have some comic books, some variant comic books from the Parks edition. Let's see.
Yeah,
the camera.
You got the... Nope.
I'm still not good with that.
Yeah, there's the Tsum Tsum. That's a park-exclusive cover, the Marvel Tsum Tsum comic,
Marvel
number one.
Tsum.
Then also there's that really cool variant Jose cover.
Look at that.
For the Enchanted Tiki
Room. First editions, both of them.
But also, if you don't want those, Nick, you got some other stuff.
We have other prizes. Yeah. We have coins. We have vinyls. We have, I think we might even have a Chewy mug left.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
All right.
So, if you want to call, you call for that 407-774-8255. For the 45-hour broadcast, which is coming up the weekend of Thanksgiving, we're going to be debuting six new Price is Right pricing games that we've never played before. We're trying out a couple of them tonight that may or may not make the cut for that. So brand new. We've never played these before. You guys are guinea pigs.
And for people new to WDWNT, I guess I should explain our audience has kind of boomed in the last year, so there might be a lot of people who have no idea what we're talking about. We do a really crazy long marathon show every year Thanksgiving weekend. To raise money for Toys for Tots. Toys for Tots is this wonderful organization that raises money to give kids, underprivileged kids, gifts for the Christmas season. They give them toys so they actually have a nice holiday season. Walt Disney and his animators were big supporters and actually created the logo for the organization when it began. So it's got a real good Disney connection, and it's a really great cause, and we've raised money every year. Last year we raised somewhere over $6,000 for Toys for Tots. So this year, or last year we did 60 hours for the 60th anniversary of Disney theme parks. This year we're celebrating 45 years of the Magic Kingdom, so we're doing 45 hours. It's going to begin that Friday, the 25th, and run through Sunday, the 27th. We'll have more info for you soon. But during the course of that show, we do a lot of our programming. WDW News Tonight will be part of that. The Price is Right will be its own separate thing. Full game of The Price is Right.
Yeah, we do showcase, showdown, and everything.
Match game, Family Feud. Don't forget the lyrics. Where in the world is Tom Corliss? All of them.
Mm-hmm. Math game.
The math game, the map game. They're all going to be a part of it. 45 hours. See you relate with Tom Corliss coming back.
Are we announcing the new game that we've never played before? Or is it too early to announce that?
There is a Jeopardy-style game coming.
Yes.
We're going to try out as well. It's going to be an exciting 45-hour show, Cooking with Nick. A lot of really great stuff. Yeah, we're going to have Jedi Hero Princess, Nerd Alert. All of our shows, we're going to do something with Radio Free Disneyland. It's going to be a big celebration. The 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World will be part of it, and maybe even a very important Back to the Future segment.
Wow. The sixth annual DV Awards celebrating the best in Vinylmation.
There you go. The Vinylmation still exists, kids.
It does.
You didn't know.
Look it up.
Yeah. Do you get any callers yet?
No.
Okay.
But we got to do a special segment right now. I think
we do.
I think
but
something...
again, the phone number 407-774-8255. Call in to play The Price is Right, brand new pricing game.
So every once in a while, I let Tom do his own thing.
Yeah,
here.
You know, it's been so crazy this week going to the Christmas party and everything. The election. There's just been so much going on that I haven't had time to do my thank you notes. I like to write out thank you notes to people every week. I haven't had time. So if you don't mind, can I take a few minutes here?
You need the good PR.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. All right. I'm going to go ahead and write out some thank you notes. Bear with me for a moment here. Thank you, Donald Trump, for ensuring that even less guests will see the Hall of Presidents. Can't wait for that Guardians of the Galaxy overlay. Okay. I didn't even start writing yet. Thank you, Magic Kingdom, for adding several varieties of stale snacks to the Christmas party.
Oh.
I didn't even know snow cones could go bad.
Oh.
That's should have known when it was yellow.
Ooh.
Anyway. Thank you, Aristocrapes, for proving that pun-named restaurants failing isn't just a California adventure thing. Malaburritos. Pizza Mau Mau.
That's
Don't remember the ones we made up? Candlestick Pork?
Yeah.
Candlestick Pork. That was such a good segment. Anyway. So I like to pontificate about my own comedy writing. I didn't even start
Get
yet.
The writing.
Thank you, Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration, for reminding us how much we love the Three Caballeros and how much we hate characters texting.
Don't text in stage show.
There you go. It's dangerous, kids. There was actually an AT&T sticker on the stage. Don't text in stage show. It can wait. Anyway. It can wait is also the tagline for Rivers of Light, by the way. Anyway. Rivers of Light. It can wait. Stop trying to make Rivers of Light happen. Anyway. Like fetch. I'm writing already. You can thank you. Thank you, Pizza Rizzo Pizza, for having a flavor palette that matches the dirt in the new planter outside. All right.
I think the chair is blocking my view of your pen.
Is it?
That's why. Timing's off.
Thank you, STK Orlando, for sucking. Because someone has to make a Planet Hollywood redo look like a good idea. Going to Flavor Town. The drones are going to Flavortown. Anyway. I got one more.
One more.
Just one more. Seven.
Seven?
They're seven, yeah. Oh. Yeah, seven. Thank you, Chicago Cubs, for showing that some things are worth waiting for. Maybe 108 years isn't unreasonable for Avatar Land. I'm good, I've been deep, I've been dying, I've been Show him dancing. He's dancing. We're missing it. There it is. It's very freeform tonight.
Yeah. A little Vogue in there.
Yeah. Price is Right? Nobody? I can see we have plenty of listeners this evening. Come on.
Yeah, we got some great prizes from Theme Park Connection, and we're going to play some Price is Right with you guys tonight. 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. Maybe, Tom, maybe while we're waiting for some of those phone calls, we should maybe read some of the comments.
But it's time to visit the wonderful world of psychotic comments?
Tom, I do mean that. And as you call in, I will put you right to hold. So just bear with us. But we'll get to Price is Right in a moment. So let's take a look at this. Tom, we're going to start off with the most controversial subject. The most controversial topic on there. Trump animatronic going into the Hall of Presidents. That one got a little bit testy in the comments. I left some of them out. I got a little vicious.
Yeah.
You know, but I picked out a couple here. Anonymous wrote in, because you actually said in there, and you said this during the news, that you wonder if he's going to get a speaking part. Well, Anonymous wrote in, he always says such classy things to say. What could possibly go wrong with that? Joe writes in, I'm going to skip Joe's, I don't even know if I want to go. Or do you want to hear it?
I'll come to look at it while you read the next one.
All right, let's, Random Troll writes in, because people are complaining a little bit. You want me to read that one, Joe? Right there? Tom's right here. Can you get in the camera? Can I go with that one? What do you think, Joe? Joe?
I'm still reading it.
I'm still reading it.
Oh, no, you got to read it.
All right.
Please read that.
Joe writes in, I'm cool with poor liberals not in the park. Some of them voted for Trump. Poor people are terrible for the parks. They bring in their stupid lunch bags, wearing cheap Walmart clothes.
Oh.
Disney should be an upscale experience. Disney wants to get rid of all poor people.
Did he write that while he was on the private boat at the Grand Floridian?
Oh,
I'll have a glass of port. And then a glass of Starbucks.
All right. Random Troll wrote in response to him, oh, liberal tears, so sweet. Random Troll's mom wrote in, goes great with that dinner for one, huh? Random Troll's mom wrote, grabber? Yeah, I don't know. Wrote back, trolling tip. If you're going to troll someone, at least try to make sense. How could it be a dinner for one if I'm drinking your tears? Yeah. It's got weird.
Oh, all the political stuff is so crazy.
I don't even know. Drones to be used at Walt Disney World. Jonathan Gomez wrote in with a good point. Can't wait to see what happens when one goes haywire and gets hacked and crashes into a child. Then they'll put up nets instead of fences and rocks.
Oh, jeez.
We have a bunch of food-related ones here. The not just cookies, not chocolate anymore at the Christmas party. Wilford Brimley writes in.
Please read it.
Wilford Brimley writes in, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Come for the holiday spirit, leave with diabetes.
I check my blood sugar and I check it often.
And the Aristocrats going seasonal at Disney Springs. Look it up, kids, wrote in.
Look it up, kids. That's one of my catchphrases.
I know. Yeah, look it up, kids, wrote in. Well, I'm sure Aristocrats would have done a lot better if they didn't insist on telling the Aristocats joke every time you ordered.
Do they tell a joke?
I don't know. I was hoping you knew.
I've ordered there before. There's no... The joke is how little their sales have been.
Really trying to get through to us here. It's the wrong number to call for Price is Right. It's 407-774-8255. More food ones here. Liberty Tree Tavern removes pot roast.
Oh, not the pot roast.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. And honestly, I'm only reading this comic because of his name.
I love these names. People are getting really creative with the name.
His name is better than his comment. He writes in, "Dear Disney Food World Food and Beverage Team, you're dead to me." And I don't know who to thank, writes in, "Thanks, Obama. I mean, thanks, Shanghai."
Maybe it should be hashtag not my lunch menu.
Wow. let's see what else we got. We got some of this foodish related. Under the Walt Disney World Resort specific cups post, I guess they're back here at Walt Disney World, right?
Yeah, Walt Disney World only cups, both the holiday and the regular. Yeah.
Dave writes in, "Napkins! Show me the napkins!"
Yeah, it's true. We do need the napkins back.
Yeah. And then last but not least, Tom, the last...
What is it?
The last Celebrate the Magic Castle Projection Show post. All right, you put up a nice video there if people want to see the last presentation of this show. You go catch it out. Amanda writes in. Really, I could tell she's angry when she writes this. "This is another show that will be cut and replaced with, well, likely nothing. Price stays the same or goes up for admission. I'm shocked how terrible Walt Disney World Florida is becoming." To which Parker replies, "It's already been replaced by Once Upon a Time. That's the only reason this is the final show, so the other one can start." Very, very good point. People getting mad before they really know why. And those are your... comments of the wonderful world of psychotic comics.
And
this
who
week.
Brings us? I'll go ahead and read this since you just did the whole
thing.
The wonderful world
like
of psychotic
her.
Comments is brought to you by WIGS, the WDWNT Inner Globe Society. Support WDWNT and get access to exclusive community and full length audio and video shows you can't find anywhere else. For more information, go to patreon.com/WDWNT or visit WDWNT.com and click the Patreon link. Join the WIGS and help WDWNT happen through Patreon. And next week, the post-show returns, the WIGS member-only post-show, next week here on WDW News Tonight.
All right, very good. And we do, Tom, we do have our first contestant here tonight.
Somebody, come on down.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
No music?
Here we go. There's music.
Okay.
What are you?
What's
what
the
you?
Name?
You're like Gabe.
Gabe?
Gabe.
Gabe, come on down! You're the first contestant on the fabulous WDWNT. The Price is Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey. I'm doing good.
Yeah, good. Me too.
Crazy day today.
It is a crazy day.
Yeah, gas was at 205. It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of things going on. What's going on in your life? Anything fun?
Well, we'll be at Destination D, so looking
That is coming up. That's coming up really soon. Excited about that. So we're excited that you're going to be our first contestant in this these debut games that we're doing here. We always look at the games Price is Right has on the TV show, and we kind of take them and adjust them for radio. And I picked some more out here. We're going to try them out here and see which ones make the cut for the 45-hour show when we do our big one. Gabe, you're going to play a game called Vendor.
Okay.
All right. So here's the rules. I'm going to name an item found at Walt Disney World. Then I will say a quantity of that item. I will do this with two different items. You need to tell me which group of items costs the most. Okay? You need to get two sets of three correct to win. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all right. So the first item is the Cinderella Carriage Metal Earth 3D Model Kit. And you have two of those. Two Metal Earth 3D Model Kits, Cinderella Carriage. And you have five Jake the Pirate Disney Racers die-cast car. So which would come out to more? Which total would come out more? Five of the race cars or two of the Metal Earth 3D model kits?
Now, when you say die-cast, are they like the tiny little cars that you'd find in the buckets at the Emporium next
Disney,
to
Disney? No, Disney Racers.
The racers.
They're prepackaged Hot Wheels-sized cars.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Metal Earth.
The The Middle Earth. So, here we go. Let's take a look at the one that you didn't choose here. The Disney Racers diecast car is $7.
Seven?
Yes, seven. Yeah. All right, so five of those brings us up to $35. The Middle Earth 3D model kit costs $34. Two of those, or excuse me, $17. Two of those bring us up to $34. So you got that one. You got that one wrong. But you have two more choices, two more chances here. You got to get both of these right. All right. So we have the new holiday line of stuff, of kitchen stuff. We have the Thumper Happy Holidays Gravy Boat, and you have six of those. Six gravy boats. And how about the Santa Mickey Mouse Bangle by Alex and Annie? Little Alex and Annie Bangle. You have three of those. So six gravy boats or three Alex and Annie Bangles. Which is going to cost you more?
Wait, so three of the Thumpers?
No. He reversed
Did
it.
Did I?
Yeah, good job. Six of the Thumper gravy boats, yes, or three of the Alex and Annie Bangles.
That's what they said.
At the same time.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with the gravy boats.
The gravy boats. All right, let's take a look at the price of the Santa Mickey Bangle by Alex and Ani. They are $45 each, so three of those will set you back $135.
More than the gravy boats.
The gravy boats are $27 each.
Are they really?
Yes.
Thought that was $19.
Nope, $20. $7 each.
Wow.
Six of those brings us up to $162. You got that one right.
Oh, I did. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job.
That was more. All right, here's the last one, which would cost you more. Four Spider-Man silk ties for adults. Yes. Or six Hollywood Tower of Terror Disney Parks Magic Bands. Six Magic Bands, four Spider-Man ties.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Oh.
Wait, how many ties?
You got four ties. You got
human
six magic bands.
I'm going to go
The
ties.
The ties. All right, let's take a look. The magic band, the Hollywood Tower of Terror magic band, is going to cost you $28 a piece. Six of those would be $168. The Spider-Man silk tie for adults, that is going to run you $56 each. Four of those is $224.
Yay!
That's all there is to it.
Never underestimate the price of Disney clothing.
That is amazing. Good rule of thumb there. All right, so good job, Gabe. Hold on the line for me. And, I have your address. Well, hold on the line so I want to see what you want. We got a few different prizes here, so hold on the line for me. And we're coming up on the end of the first hour here of WDW News tonight. We have some more pricing games to play. I know we ran really long with the news and everything here, so we could still take you in the second hour tonight, 407-774-8255, the number to call.
Yeah, also in hour two, we have the in-depth discussion of the value in visiting Walt Disney World. We're going to have there's a whole bunch of bullet points and things we got to talk about, and there's going to be a really, really interesting conversation we've never really had before.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued to see where it goes.
I think people have some valid points there.
It's going to be a really interesting conversation. You know, so I'm looking forward to it. Also, Who Hates Tom Now?
Yeah.
Lots of great stuff coming up in hour two of WDW News tonight. We'll be right back. WDW News Tonight. I was checking out the chat on WDWNT, the app. Of course. On my iPhone 7. Yeah, 7.
7?
Yeah. All right, coming up next week on...
Chore to be with you.
What?
It's a chore to be, like, hanging out with you.
Why?
The whole 7 thing.
We are getting pretty ridiculous. about it. It's a bit overboard.
Anyway, it happens at least 7 times an hour.
7?
Yeah, 7.
Next week on WDW News Tonight, November 16th, we're going to have DJ Middlebrow, the host of Radio Free Disneyland, with us. There's going to be a new episode coming out. I want to talk about Episode 3, The President of Disneyland. It's going to be an interesting
one. Such a cool show.
It's so crazy and cool. If you haven't seen it, Episode 2 is actually up on YouTube. If you're on YouTube later, you want to listen to that. It's on YouTube. You could download it. Stream it from the site, whatever. It's available in a whole bunch of ways. Also, episode 1's out there, too. It's a really crazy, wonderful audio show, and it's just something so different, and we love it so much. He'll be with us next week. Also, the return of the Disney Parks Pursuit next week on WDW News Tonight. Nick, who brings us WDW News Tonight?
We're brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, you can save up to 25% on rooms that select Walt Disney. Me off.
Come on!
I know. Well, I was looking to see if there was something I needed to read with the asterisk. You could save up to 25% on rooms at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels for stays most nights January 1st through April 8th, 2017, when you book October 3rd through December 21st, 2016. The number of rooms available for this offer is limited, so make sure to act fast. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today.
You know, Nick, with any luck, maybe we'll have an announcer someday.
I kind of like reading these.
Maybe not for much longer.
You see, I bring character to them. People listen for my mistakes.
Define
therefore,
character.
People are listening for me to mess up, and therefore,
but
they're
you're
listening
giving them in a way you're not
more intently to the information.
I don't know about
that.
Yeah, because they have to try really hard to understand what you're saying, so they got to listen real closely.
There's an asterisk there. Why is there an asterisk there?
I don't know, because it's copied from the ad.
Yeah.
I still, like, you never.
Disney World's copyrighted, too.
I'm not going to have this. Come, Michael, come
you're
on
lucky
now!
You're
the next contestant
you're
on WDWNT. The Price is Right.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, Michael.
It's we're doing well.
We're doing really good, contrary to popular belief. You doing well? You holding up?
Yeah, I hear that it's too close to call on when the Rivers of Light's going to be
different. Oh, yeah. Tough show.
I'm not calling that one yet. So
it's both too early and too close.
we're gonna play Price is Right, Michael. Have you ever played Price is Right with us before?
No, this will be my first time.
First time, all right. Well, very good. Welcome to the Price is Right. We're going to do a pricing game with you, and hopefully you can win a great prize from our great sponsor, Theme Park Connection. Here you go, Michael. You're going to play the game 2-for-1. The object of this game, I'm going to name an item found at Walt Disney World. There are two options, or actually, I did expand this because we're going to play another game. So some of these items may be only found at Disney Store, too. I just want to give that little disclaimer. There's a little asterisk at this one. So Disney World or the Disney Store. There are two options for each digit in the price of the item. I'm going to reveal one of the digits to you. So you're going to be able to get one of those right off the bat. And then you must guess the other digits in the price. I'm going to do this with up to 3 items. You need to get 2 of them correct to win. Okay? So here you go. The first item is the Mini Tsum Tsum Plush Advent calendar from the Disney Store. Now, it has 3 digits in the price. Would you like me to reveal the first, the second, or the third digit to you?
Let's do the first one.
All right, the first digit is 1. So the price starts with 1. You're going to have to guess the second or the third.
Now, 100 and something.
Is the second digit in the price of the Tsum Tsum Plush Advent calendar a 4 or a 3?
Let's go with 4.
All right, 4.
Is it a 4?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to reveal that yet?
I'm going to reveal it at the end. I don't know how Drew Carey does it. But,
all right, so what's the next one?
All right, so you guess 4. And then what do you guess for the third number, either a 0 or a 5?
So is it 140 or 145?
Let's go with five.
$145.
All right. The actual retail price of the Mini Tsum Tsum Plush Advent Calendar in the Disney Store is $140. So close. All right, let's go to the next one here. You need to get both of these right to win. This one is the Madame Leota Memento Mori sign from Walt Disney World. You can buy the replica sign. The sign that costs three.
Replica, there's no real one.
It's its own unique thing.
Yeah,
you're right. It's its own unique thing. Yeah. Pretty cool. You could buy this. It's three digits. Which would you like me to reveal, the first, the second, or the third?
Let's go with the first one again.
All right, the first one is one, so it's $100-something. The second digit is either a two or a four.
Let's go with two this time.
All right, going with two. And the third number is either a five or a zero.
Five.
All right. So you say 125. Let's see the retail price of the Madame Leota Memento Mori sign. $125.
Nice.
Good job. Yeah, they're cheering for you. They're cheering for you on and off. Crazy. They can cheer on command. It's amazing how our audience does that. They're so good. All right. This one, hopefully a little bit easier. This one only has two digits. They are the Death Star cufflinks from Star Wars. All right. These are so cool, by the way. I didn't know these existed. Death Star cufflinks. Only two digits here. So it's going to be pretty easy. Which one do you want me to reveal? The first or second digit?
Let's do the first one.
All right. The first digit is six. So it's $60-something. Is it $66 or $62?
Okay, say it one more time.
Is the second digit a six or a two?
Let's go with two.
50-50 shot there. He's going with two, so he's saying the price of the cufflinks is $62. The actual retail price of the Death Star cufflinks is $66. Oh. So close, Michael. Thank you very much for playing again today. And, you know, don't worry that you didn't win here. We're going to be doing a full-fledged version of The Price is Right coming up on our 45th show, the weekend of Thanksgiving. We're going to pre-register people probably for that, at least some of the spots. So stay tuned for that. You could try it again.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. We appreciate it, too,
Michael.
Thanks.
Have a good one, Michael.
All right. So that is The Price is Right here on WDW News tonight. Big thank you to Theme Park Connection, as always, for providing us with a wonderful slew of prizes. Like I said, we have some coins, Vinylmation, lanyards. We have millionaire stuff from, we have those cool catering company patches.
Yeah,
from
Studio Catering Company.
Studios. Yeah. So lots of cool stuff to give out to you.
So please check them out online at themeparkconnection.com. They have a 16,000 square foot warehouse filled with Disney memorabilia here in Orlando. And as well, they have hundreds and hundreds of items on sale online each and every week. So check them out again online at themeparkconnection.com. Nick, when we come back, this is one of the bigger conversations we've had on the show in our in-depth discussion brought to you by WDWNT, the app.
I'd call it meaty.
It's the value in visiting Walt Disney World. We're going to talk about everything currently at Walt Disney World, what they invest in, the price of things, the value of things, the quality of things, and what's going on right now at Walt Disney World in relation to you and quality, and whether there is value in visiting.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
The same amount of people on our comments that say they will never visit Walt Disney World again because of these prices will be the same amount of people that leave the country because Trump got elected. It's my prediction.
Anyway, we'll be right back. Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. All right, it's time for our in-depth discussion of the week brought to you by WDWNT, the app. Nick, you pitched this, so explain a little bit the backstory and how we got to this segment and what exactly the idea is behind it.
All right, yeah, you know, I absolutely hate Like, I always hated message boards. I always hated reading comments on everything, because it just devolves into this disgusting pool of mess that you have to read through. But it's fun for radio, and that's why we started the psychotic comments and the Who Hates Tom. And so each week I am tasked with it's like. You know, my own personal hell. I am tasked every week going through these comments on our website to pick out the worst of the worst. But while I'm doing that each week, Tom, I discovered there are some running themes through what some of these people are leaving. And I think some of them are valid. Some of them, I don't think so, you know, and they have these deep discussions. When it doesn't devolve into a your mom discussion, you know, response,
yeah.
Some of these discussions get kind of deep, and they have, I think a lot of them have, even if they're not completely valid, they have a certain true, you know, a certain part of it is valid. And these people have these concerns, and when I'm seeing the same things over and over and over and over again, I think they're worth talking about, because it is what people out there apparently, you know, want to be talking about, and they're
and
not
we,
necessarily.
And we notice a pattern, like even this week, both that Grand Floridian, you know, rental boat thing, and the Poly Shade rental, sort of bring some of this to light.
Well, we do, you know, you post the news and people kind of comment on that, but you very rarely will post an editorial on something like that. But that's where our podcasts and radio shows are, you know, are come in to play, because this is where we can have these discussions and talk about these topics that otherwise just kind of sit there on the message boards. So a lot of it's about value at Walt Disney World. A lot of it, the main thing here is a lot of people are saying the construction and they're not caring. You know, one of the running themes is, why do all this construction at once? You know, that's a question I'd like to get into, and I'd like to hear your response to something like that. They're doing all this construction at once, and people feel that their choices are being severely limited. And so, you know, and so their value, and yet the ticket value is going up and up and up. They're paying more and more and more for these vacations. And they're also seeing some things taken away and not replaced with anything, or replaced with food or souvenirs. And they're also seeing a lot of, things not go. One of the biggest themes I saw in the comments is that people believe that Disney is not doing anything these days unless they can tie it in with a current IP that they could then, you know, sell a bunch of souvenirs for, or sell, you know, or sell the movie or do something like that. And so everything's a tie-in, everything. And people are seeing these trends, and that's what they want to talk about.
Yeah, and so I thought that was really interesting, and I think there's a lot to cover there. And you said we have a call already. Do you want to take the call now?
Yeah, you know what? Let's let John kind of kick us off in a certain direction, because there are a lot of directions to go here. So, John, thanks for calling tonight. Where are you calling in from?
Tennessee.
All right. And you wanted to touch on a couple topics. I know one of them was food. So let's start there.
Overall, you know, I still think that there's a lot of value to be had in a trip to Disney World. But there's two topics that I think more recently have become an issue. And one, I think, is the sort of the destruction of the lunch menus at the table service restaurant. You know, you've got Liberty Tree Tavern, you've got Chefs de France, and you've got even Crystal Palace, that buffet, it went to the same price all day long.
And the switch to all-day menus. Tony's did that too, the switch to the all-day menu,
And I used to be able to get a lot of value out of eating, you know, a bigger meal at lunch and then eating a counter service meal for dinner. Mm. So that was one way to save a lot of money, and that's sort of being taken away at a lot of restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, Liberty Tree, it's hard to deny that's a decline in value. A lot of people are upset about the loss of the pot roast and the Pilgrim's Feast. The fact is that if you wanted a smaller, basically that turkey dinner, which I think was $20, $21, I think, was the price originally.
$19.99 for
there,
a while.
Yeah, there you go, $19.99.
Is this the price is right?
Yeah, right. Now they are only offering it in the all-you-care-to-eat, because that's now expanded to lunch, which is considerably more expensive. And actually, the people next to us, when we went first day, the lady said, well, if you want that, you can order the all-you-care-to-eat. And they just looked at each other for a while. The waitress came back, and they said, just too much food and too much money. We're gonna leave. And they left. And, I mean, it's true. Chefs isn't within Disney's control. Chefs is run by third party, so that one's rough.
Right.
to argue, but Disney did kind of tank Liberty Tree, and they did it at Tony's. They went to an all-day menu. Not that Tony's is the greatest restaurant ever, but it's a valid point at the table service that they're kind of dumbing things down with the lunch menus a little bit. That being said, I think there's been a steep incline in the quick service menus as of late, and I have actually got a couple of really great reviews I still have to run. Like Riverside introduced three new hamburgers. They're all phenomenal. All three of them are really great. And then I've eaten at Pecos Bill's a lot in the last month or two, and it's a really solid quick service menu. But I think I absolutely agree on the table service front. It does seem like they've kind of dumbed down a few just to pump through more people kind of deal.
And the other topic I want to talk about real quickly is the new price increases for the hard ticket events. And, you know, I was just down there a month ago, and it was really an easy choice for me. I was able to buy a Frequent Fear Plus pass for Halloween Horror Nights, and I was able to get three straight nights out of that.
Yeah.
For roughly the same price of one night of Not So Scary.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just an absolute no-brainer. And, you know, you don't talk about value. I think that for your Halloween offerings, that Universal just blows Disney completely out of the water when it comes to value.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the Halloween Horror Nights, the Saturday list Frequent Fear, I think, is like 110.
I got an annual pass for 106.
There you go. 106, and you get access to almost every night of the event. That being said, also, Halloween Horror Nights is considerably longer than a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. They'll generally run from, 6:30 to 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., depending on the night, as opposed to the Halloween party, which is 7 to 12, and you kind of have to rush if you want to see a majority of things. And the ticket prices on the Halloween party were real rough, and the Christmas party is even rougher. Cast member discount tickets to the Christmas party this year are $65. $65, that's cast discount. And they're only offered this month. They're not offered in December. There's no AP or cast or anything. The parties, without a doubt, and they're seeing an impact. I mean, we saw it. The Halloween party typically would sell out several nights, and I think they only sold out two or three this year. And Christmas, they've yet to sell any out yet, and the prices are pretty ridiculous. And if you buy it same day, actually, not even same day. The last party, I think, is $15 more or $10 more than a one-day ticket that day to the Magic Kingdom. It's fairly insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming back down to Florida next month in December. And, you know, $65, $70, $75 for a hard ticket event, I'm fine with. But mm-hmm. I just can't justify what it is now.
No, it's really valid, especially the parties. It's hard to deny the pricing is real rough, but there's still demand. I mean, they're starting to see a slump in demand as they're not selling out as many now, but it probably, sadly, is offset by the price they're charging, so they're probably pretty happy about it. Although next year, if they raise it again, it'd be interesting to see how rough they get hit.
So here's an interesting question.
Jason Diffendahl, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Interesting question. I just want to get your guys' takes on this, that you said, you know, the decline in demand of the hard ticket parties is offset by the cost. And I know a lot of times, you know, I'd go into the parks and be like, you know, I'd be willing to pay a couple more dollars to have less lines and less crowds.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the Express Pass is at Universal.
And the point of the Disney After Hours event they did at the Magic Kingdom.
Right. And so if people are willing to pay a little extra to get less crowds and less lines, maybe that's the need that Disney is sensing in raising these ticket prices is to actually reduce the crowds during the holiday parties so that even though you spent $10 or $15 more this year than last year, you feel like you got that much value out of it because you were able to do more stuff in that time.
But can't they just do that with a cap on attendance?
Well, they can, but it doesn't put more money into their pocket.
Yeah. Like the first Christmas party on Monday was packed. And then the second Christmas party, it was yesterday, was not. There was no one there. And the same thing Halloween. I went to the first Halloween party. It was jam-packed. I went back the following Sunday, and it was the least crowded party I have ever been to at the Magic Kingdom, even going back to like 2001 Christmas party, which is, you know, right after 9/11 and a really slow time. So yeah.
All right, well, and real quick, John, thank you for your call. Appreciate it tonight. If anyone else wants to call in and get in on the discussion, 407-774-8255.
Let me introduce, we do have our panel with us. We took the call off the bat. We didn't get to introduce everybody. Obviously, Jason, you saw already. David Smith is with us. Hello, David.
Hey, everybody.
We got Zach Larson. Zach. And Ron Deanna.
Hello.
All right, so we got the whole panel here. Nick, what were you saying?
I think someone else had a point on the panel.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, increasing, trying to keep the same revenue by, you know, mix matching how much you charge versus how many people you get, you double dip when you get more because you save money from less staffing and things like that. So it makes sense from the business perspective, but is it going to hurt them too much at a certain point? Are people going to see, well, I'm not getting the same level of service, and, oh, it seems less crowded, but the lines are still as long because they're not staffing right. So it's going to be interesting to see how next year really goes. If didn't last year every Halloween party sell out?
The last several sold out.
I thought there were like more than normal last year.
It was definitely a high number. It was probably around 8 or 9.
Yeah, and now if you said two?
I think 2 to 3. Three at the most, 2 for sure.
Yeah, that's really ridiculous to what it is. I mean, and they've raised the cap over the years to how many people were going.
Yeah, it almost feels like there isn't even one some nights.
I mean, I think it's somewhere around like 35,000.
I think it's higher than that now. I think it's like 40, 45.
Which is still, you know, 60% of an averagely busy day.
Yeah.
In the park, but
it's still rough for how much extra you're paying.
And they're not adding anything new. Giving the Horror Nights value every year is almost everything is new. They might repeat a house every so often.
And it's such a good value as a local or repeat customer. Horror Nights is an incredible value. That being said, the lines are rough. They're always rough for the houses. And I mean, they're two very different events. You have to be, you know, I happen to like both of them. And Horror Nights, I know, isn't necessarily for everyone. And I don't think Halloween Party. Typically, people like Horror Nights aren't necessarily, you know, Halloween party people either.
There's some crossover there, but yeah, you're right. It's just they cater to two very different demographics, and I think they like it that way. I mean, I've lived in Orlando since '88, still have never been to a Halloween party.
Wow,
never. Yeah, I mean, why? I give them $480 a year for an annual pass.
Yeah,
and I can buy candy at Target.
A shame, you're not the target audience, obviously. Yeah,
that parade is so good.
Mm. So, I mean, I guess
that on YouTube.
You can.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think this whole conversation is something that has been in place since Disney was a publicly traded company, and it's going to continue to be in place as long as Disney is publicly traded because of the emphasis on quarterly profit numbers.
Yeah.
However, I think what we're seeing in the last year, 2 years, is there's so much more emphasis and so much more aggression from the Disney company to really maximize their margin numbers, maximize their profit numbers, because I think they're looking at their balance sheets and they're seeing they're putting these huge investments into the parks, into, you know, the offerings, but they're not seeing the return on those yet. They got to figure out a way to make those returns so they hit those ROI targets in where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why we're seeing them do everything they can, you know, and they're basically throwing things against the wall, like After Hours, you know, just let's see if we could charge people $170 to come and with capacity controls. And
or
see if
$25 for shade.
Yeah, exactly. There's much more emphasis in the last year and a half, and I think that's what's concerning people. And I agree with them because, you know, at some point it's going to start pricing a large segment of your market out of being able to make these type of trips. And I think that's going to hurt the company in the long run. Now, as a business, they have an obligation to do that. But I think in terms of long-term success, I'm not sure that's a successful strategy.
Yeah, I think definitely the Walt Disney Company, as are many other, you know, publicly traded companies, are obviously way too focused on the quarterly numbers and short-term goals, and they lose sight of the long-term goals. And I mean, we've been saying this for about Disney for a long time now. You know, and taking something that used to be free, like the cabanas at the Polynesian, and all of a sudden charging $25 for them. You know, I mean, it's kind of a pretty clear money grab. What else can you say that is? Is it's a money grab? I mean, if they wanted, you know, it used to be first come, first serve, and maybe people complained that they weren't available or something. You know, there certainly was another alternative to make some kind of arrangements that you could occupy it for an hour or two instead of all day. You know, that besides charging money and basically forcing the people with less money to do without. So I think, you know, boat service, you could always rent boats and stuff, but a boat service that completely is essentially identical to one that exists for free, except you're charging for it, seems like a money grab, because otherwise those transportation cast members ought to be driving the free boats.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if there's demand for more boats, they ought to put more boats in the water, not start charging, you know, people that are willing to pay. So it's pretty clear to me that some of these things are nothing more than money grabs. And, you know, even if people who go to Disney, who can afford these kinds of things, see enough of them, they're going to realize that, you know, even if you can afford them and choose not to go along with it because of the, you know, the obviousness of it, you're gonna feel like Disney's not as special of a place as it used to be, and I think that's the long term kind of thing, David, that you're talking about.
Yeah, we have someone on the phone. I want to get to their point, comments, or concerns, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, we have a caller, Whitney, who wants to take us in a little bit of another direction on this topic. Good evening, Whitney.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you calling in from?
Arkansas.
All right, and you want to talk about the value you get when you go to Walt Disney World, and what did you want to bring up tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk about the lack of characters they don't have anymore, because I've been going since I was 6. I'm 27 now, and I'm still bitter about the red double-decker character bus.
Oh, characters on holiday.
Mm. Yep. So, it mostly started when I read that they were taking away Jessie from the meet and greet in Frontierland. And what's frustrating about that is it seems like they keep taking away more character from the classic films and bringing in more from the newer films like Frozen, which has overtaken, I feel like, a whole portion of Disney now.
Mm. I mean, a lot of that's guest demand and what's relevant. That being said, I completely understand the even beyond the number of characters you can meet, the diversity of characters you can meet. The pool is a lot more shallow than it used to be. To give you an idea, I used to be real hardcore into character autographs, and there were trips where I think I totaled somewhere around 120, 130 different characters in an autograph book. Probably can only do 40-ish now. I think it's somewhere in that zone.
And that's if you're really, really good.
You gotta really work for that. I mean, like, Character Palooza and, like, Resort Holiday Week special meet and greets and things
and then
like
just
that.
Happen to stumble upon a training session outside the World Showcase.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is outside of the Fab Five and Chip and Dale, there's really not a whole lot of diversity in the Princess group. There's not a whole lot of diversity happening. I mean, there's a couple here and there. You've got Baymax at Epcot, and you've got Joy and Sadness, and but not a whole lot of diversity yet. There's Mickey and Minnie meet and greets at every park, but probably should be, but the pool's pretty shallow, and they do seem to keep cutting, but I always feel like for the most part they at least try to rotate around. They've had like the same number of meet and greets the last couple years, but as opposed to like 10 or 15 years ago, it's a lot less, and the Epcot character bus is probably on the short list of things I miss the most
Yes, I miss that the most. But another, it's like, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I'm introducing them to all the classics that I grew up on, like Peter Pan, that they love, and Toy Story that they've become obsessed with. And today my daughter was asking, she's like, okay, so Bubba's going to meet Buzz Lightyear, and then I'm going to meet Jessie. I'm like, but no, you're not.
Yeah.
Because they've taken those away. And with Peter Pan, I know they send him out sometimes, but what about, like, Wendy Darling? You know, just the classic characters that we all grew up with and want to reintroduce to our kids who end up loving those movies.
Not even Captain Hook anymore, man.
I know, and they used to have, right before Toontown, they had that big wooden pavilion that they would bring out all the villains, like Jafar and Queen of Hearts.
Fantasyland Character Festival, which is the 20,000
Leagues.
And
they would bring all of those out. And even if they're villains, I mean, as a kid, I wasn't afraid of them. It was just really cool to see all those out there at once.
Yeah. No, early 2000s, it seemed like more of a priority to have characters everywhere and a big diversity. And then I think whoever got put in charge of it just kind of just dumbed it down a little bit. Yeah, and I understand. And the thing is, it's not even classic characters. I mean, I had family visit recently that one of the kids, his name is Michael, and he loves Monsters, Inc. because he wanted to meet Mike from Monsters, Inc. That doesn't exist anymore. You can't meet Mike and Sully. That's a fairly big IP for them and really relevant modern characters. And you can't meet Mike and Sully anymore. So, I mean, it's not even so much classic characters as much as even like 90s and 2000s characters from popular movies just aren't even available anymore.
So it's a perfect example of short-sighted thinking, right? Because, yes, you are saving money. You're not having to pay the cast members to do those characters. But those characters do eat up capacity in the parks. You know, the more diverse characters you have, the more people are going to be willing to stand in line for them.
Yeah.
And that's going to really help your park capacity. Not to mention, and Whitney made a great point, you know, that's how you establish connections with the next generation of park goers, is by making those special events for with the characters that they're looking for. And now if they're only seeing Chip and Dale and Mickey and Minnie, they're not making those connections.
Yeah.
Does this go to the point that some of the people in the comments are making that they're getting rid of ones that don't generate money for them outside of, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Monsters University wasn't a huge hit, and I think that kind of just made them decide, hey, we don't need Monsters, Inc. anymore. Merchandise sales were kind of bad.
Yeah, but with Toy Story, I mean, they're building Toy Story Land, and I feel like they'll probably bring Jessie back when that's open. But to take that away, that's been in the park for years.
Yeah, I mean, you can't meet her on Pixar Place either.
Yeah, and it brings in a lot of money.
Yeah.
I know Toy Story still does, and I know that Peter Pan is still, it resonates with the older.
But it's more a case where, if we offer Woody and Buzz, I mean, we don't need to offer Jessie. At least there are some Toy Story representations. And I can't speak for the sales of Jessie merchandise in particular, but I know nobody's selling near Buzz and Woody levels on merchandise.
Right.
So that might be part
And is
of
this
it.
A symptom with entertainment being cut in general? I mean, we lose, you know.
They reroute. More so than cutting entertainment budget, I feel like they reroute. Like, they had Muppets in Liberty Square coming in, so they cut Notorious Banjo Brothers and Bob. That's typically a thing they seem to do nowadays. I don't feel like, at least since the Epcot cuts, we haven't had a decrease in the number of entertainment offerings as much as they divert the budget. But you would have to wonder, why not just offer both? I mean, that's definitely a valid point.
There's the overhead is what you're paying these people. So, I mean, even if you cut the times to, you know, only have them in on weekends when it's a little more busy, that's something else when you could use that little, they're keeping 20 people or, you know, busy 5 minutes at a time or whatever.
And Disneyland kind of does that. There are entertainment groups at Disneyland that not only just appear on weekends, but have very specific days of the week and shorter segments. I think some of the bands there appear like 3 or 4 days a week. And they do a good job of spacing them out, but they keep a lot. And that's why it always feels like Disneyland has way more entertainment. On a single day, I don't think Disneyland has more entertainment. Over the course of a week, I think you could see more different acts across the two parks at Disneyland Resort than you can at any of the Walt Disney World parks.
All right. Well, thank you, Whitney, for the phone call tonight. The number is 407-774-8255 if you want to chime in. And we do actually have Gabe calling back here. He has a question to spark another conversation with us tonight. Go ahead, Gabe.
All right. So this is more of like a general question that's it's relevant to both the company and the parks. And it's sort of – so most of the time you hear a lot of these conversations like devolve into like talking about IPs and
– Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the value of IPs and you know, the value of original attractions and movies and so forth. And, you know, we've seen that they broke $6 billion at the box office just this year. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, repackaging characters, you know, rehashing IPs in any way is obviously extremely profitable for them. Mm-hmm. But then, conversely, in the past, you know, going back to Walt's time and really since the mid-Eisner era, there was a dedication to original stories and original attractions, and it seems that more or less that's gone now because it's too risky. Now,
it's not necessarily gone. They are far choosier about it than they used to be. Right. I mean, Rivers of Light is, provided it ever debuts, is IP-less. There's no IPs in the show, and they're being given artistic freedom to do something. And even the Tree of Life Awakenings, there is one show that kind of very loosely is Disney-related, but a lot of them are just very artsy.
Right. I mean, it's very choosy, you know, like...
Yeah, it's got it, like Mystic Manor, like Mystic Manor's one of the few, that and Grizzly Gulch, one of the few things.
And Mystic Manor, and just, it's very, very specific. And while that doesn't devalue it, perhaps it won't be advantageous for them going, you know, thinking in like the long term, because it doesn't create anything unique to Disney parks, rather than just sort of the universal model, which is modern, relevant, IP based.
Get it in as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that's sort of what we're seeing now from the company and management and WWE.
Well, I mean, that's the business overall. I mean, even look at Six Flags. Yeah, they still build unthemed roller coasters, but most of those unthemed roller coasters are being based on DC properties because that's what they have to work with, and that's what draws people to them more so than it just being a good coaster. And that's just the nature of the business right now. I think Harry Potter came in, and they had this really immersive experience that brings you into the land and you're really living the movie. And that's living the movie has always been a great promise to people. I mean, Disneyland certainly, for every original attraction they had, they certainly had enough Fantasyland rides and other things that were based on IPs. And I mean, even then, what we consider a lot of the original attractions weren't really original. Like Jungle Cruise is loosely based on True Life Adventures, and the stuff in Tomorrowland was based on the stuff they were doing on the TV show related to that also. It's just those things were a little more, I mean, they weren't related to Disney characters, so they were not necessarily seen as IP related back then, but they were. I mean, and then Walt kind of let them have some freedom, and they did things like Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion and Big Thunder and, you know, Matterhorn and a lot of those things just because they were really good ideas. But, I mean, same with movies. I think a lot of that, those genres and original ideas have just kind of been burnt up at this point. I mean, there's only so much more out there they could probably do. But the other point is that that's what people want right now. People want a Star Wars land. People want Harry Potter land. People want Avatar land.
The Galaxy.
For that one too. People want Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a huge IP, and it's, you know, people are going to be, and I know it may be seen as heresy, but people are going to be more likely to go to California Adventure if there's a Guardians of the Galaxy ride than a Twilight Zone ride. Twilight Zone, as much as I personally love it, isn't relevant. It's not relevant anymore. Kids don't know what that is. Even in Florida, as amazing as the ride is, and that's all that works with it, is the attraction is so amazingly done that it doesn't matter. But kids have no idea what's going on at Tower of Terror.
That's a really good point, because my daughter loves that. That's her favorite attraction. She's 8 years old. That's her favorite attraction. And we actually saw a Twilight Zone videotape in a flea market and showed it to her. And she's like, what do I want with this? I don't want this. What is this? So it was, it's kind of like, it's the attraction that she likes. It's not anything to do with its tie-in to the movie or film or,
but that also doesn't franchise. Do anything for Disney. They can't sell merchandise. It doesn't. The other thing is brand strength. Like if you like, and vice versa. I mean, obviously, like I've told the story a million times. I was introduced to Star Wars through Star Tours, and while that wasn't a Disney property, that's kind of what George Lucas had in mind. Millions of people go to Disneyland and Disney World, and if they ride this ride, well, then they might be like, well, that ride was really good. I'm going to go watch those movies. And that's what happened with me. So if you build a Guardians of the Galaxy ride and people go ride and they're like, oh, that ride was fun. The raccoon was really funny. I should probably go watch that movie now. And to the same effect, we talked about Horror Nights earlier. I had never seen the movie Krampus. I went through the house at Horror Nights. I really enjoyed it. I said, I kind of want to see the movie. I watched Krampus. That improves. And again, it's not really a big IP or a big brand, but... No. I like that movie a lot. It was good, and I would have never watched it if it wasn't for the house.
That's funny.
And that's how that works. That's literally how that works. It's using all of the facets of your company, and that's why everything's a media conglomerate. You use all the facets of your company to continue to strengthen the brand. You show ads for the new Star Wars movie on ESPN and ABC. You have attractions based on it in the theme parks. The movies... tie in. If people have seen the movies, they're like, oh, I love that movie. And then they see that you're building a land that's based on that specific movie. I want to go to Disney World and see that land. It's I hate to use this, but it's the circle of life. It's how this all works.
And it's
circle of cash.
Circle of cash.
And a lot of it is good quality wise, I would think. But
you have to. You don't want to hurt the brand. Right. Doing something stupid with the brand hurts it.
And that's good. But are we getting that at the expense of these little, like, kind of world building experiences that you can get at the parks that add to your experience, but don't add anything to Disney's bottom line, because you're not in a shop spending money, you're not in a restaurant eating, and you're not standing in a queue line, you know, to help capacity there. You're standing around or watching something on the street or interacting with characters and things like that.
Yeah.
Are we losing that at the expense of these great IPs to build those worlds instead?
So I guess, Nick, let me ask you this. What was the last theme park world that you were really impressed with that was not IP-based?
I couldn't come up with one.
And I think Tom made a great point. We have to remember that this has been the mode of theme parks since Disneyland was built. A large portion of Disneyland was based on properties that Disney's already had, and it was bringing you into those worlds. Now, yes, there are absolutely original things that happen. Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, those things happen, and they're great. But in today's market, I don't know if you can open up an attraction like the Haunted Mansion and expect guests to flock to your park. Those type of things, there is no uniqueness in attractions anymore other than the properties that they're based on. That's what's pulling people in. So if you choose a property, you have a built-in marketing plan already set up, and you have a built-in audience that's going to come see it.
I think you're right, certainly, David, to an extent. But, you know, there are some recent examples of unique attractions that aren't IP-based, like Soarin', which is, you know, a certainly highly popular attraction that's not based on any intellectual property, and it's completely based on a brand-new ride system as well. So I think every once in a while, Imagineering comes up with something like that that's effectively a game-changer for attractions in terms of something that's groundbreaking and brand-new.
But see, and they have this innate ability now to turn those into IPs. Like, they turned Pirates of the Caribbean into an IP. Even Soarin', it now is being built at every park around the world, which will make it an IP. It will have excellent brand awareness.
Sure.
Because it'll be at every resort.
Right. And so what happens is Disney has to ensure that they have the creative power in-house to come up with these innovative new attractions that aren't IP based, so that the full circle can be completed, going from IP to attractions and from attractions to IP. I think Disney needs both, and I think they're doing it. We're just maybe, you know, at the one end of the pendulum swing right now, and
we have been since 2006.
Well, but if I'm just to make one other point, if I'm getting the point that the people are making in these discussions online, then it's not that they don't want these lands based on IP. They don't want, it's not like they don't want Star Wars or Toy Story Land. They just don't want to lose the other
stuff
just because we have to build this stuff.
I mean, think about just the last 3 years. We have lost a tremendous amount of very old original attractions. We lost Backlot Tour. We lost Maelstrom. Both of those within a week of each other, actually.
Just Osborne Lights.
Osborne,
the cutback in entertainment characters. Didn't we have a cutback in like Streetmosphere and so? Isn't there less of that and things like
sometimes,
that?
Sometimes, but it's not less.
But it's characters that you kind of lose and things that you kind of lose along the way because they don't bring in the money that these. And I get it. Like I understand.
It's not just a money thing, though. I think
the
problem is it's also a demand thing right now. It's what the market wants. I would love to argue that it's just Disney trying to pull money out of every attraction they invest in, but it's also what people want. It's been proven. Like, look what Cars Land did for California. It's hard probably to go into Imagineering there or be, you know, at a decision-making level in parks and resorts and approve something original when you see, well, Cars Land fixed this park, and this land, and Avatar is going to fix Animal Kingdom, and Star Wars is going to be huge at Disneyland and Hollywood Studios. It's hard to be the guy pitching the original attraction because they see what those lands are doing. California has a hell of a hard time selling merchandise. Cars Land, though, introduces a new merchandise line every 6 months and sells, and they make money. It's the only thing there that consistently is pumping money.
Is it also partially the nature of who the CEO was? Say what you want, whether it was good or bad. Yeah. Eisner had his nose in the creative process. He was a creative CEO and kind of delegated a lot of the financial responsibilities. You know, good or bad, that's what happened. Iger's the exact opposite. I don't think he does. He just keeps an eye on trends, things like that. He doesn't seem to be personally involved and personally invested or caring about what the nature of
he's a businessman. He's not creative.
And going back, and this was something I wanted to talk about earlier when Dave was saying the nature of how businesses have changed and it's all, you know, quarterly profits and all that. Another part of that is who the main shareholders are. You know, up until 10 years ago, they were individuals. Was the largest individual shareholder. And when you own that much of a company, you care about that company's product and what it puts forward going forward, not just what you're going to get on your dividends next month. And now there are none of those giant shareholders. There's no Jobs or Bass Brothers or Disney family members with those large amount of shares. It's all mutual funds and banks.
Private equity firms, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, great point. I mean, I think what concerns me more than anything is not Iger, because your CEO probably is going to be business. It's you have to go down 3 or 4 or 5 levels from Iger before you hit a really creative person. I mean, other than maybe Lasseter, which I'm still not certain of Lasseter's how he fits into the org structure.
Yeah.
But I think you have to go down multiple levels before you hit a really creative person in this company.
Yeah.
Has the company been its best when it has had those dual roles with Walt and Roy and Wells and Eisner, when you have those positions kind of at the top where they have to deal with each other all the time? No one really led those.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Lasseter and Iger had that. I mean, even though Cars Land was such a big part of the California Adventure expansion, they also got Buena Vista Street, which Buena Vista Street, while it has Disney references, is very much more so like old school Disney. It's Main Street, but it's for that park. I mean, it's, you know, there's plenty of, and at the same time, they were pumping out Mystic Manor and Grizzly Gulch for Hong Kong. And, you know, there's been effort. But then suddenly more recently, I don't know what it is. Like, as good as things seemed when Iger came in, the last 2 years there's been this turn, like he's changed his mind almost. It's been very, very odd. But I don't know. We unfortunately are very quickly running out of time. We haven't even scratched the surface of this conversation. So we are going to pick this up again next week for sure. Because there are so many different angles of this that we didn't even touch yet. And there's still even much more we could talk about with this, you know, line of thought we're on right now. So next week we will pick this back up, the value of visiting Walt Disney World. But yeah, I mean, I have a ton more bullet points we didn't even get near. Yeah,
all right. So. But our in-depth discussion is brought to you by WDWNT, the app, the official mobile application of WDW News Today. The app brings you all the latest Disney Parks news, WDWNT.com podcasts, including WDW News Tonight, streamed right to your mobile device, park hours, videos, as well as the ability to listen and chat live on the go with this very show and many others. Download the app today for iOS, Android, and Amazon devices by searching for WDWNT or visit WDWNT.com for more info. WDWNT, the app bringing the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news anywhere you want it. And I know what the people want, Tom. They want to know who hates Tom now. All right, starting off with the story, Once Upon a Time successfully replaces Celebrate the Magic nighttime show with the Magic Kingdom. Tom wrote in, I know I'll have hell to pay from the Tokyo fanboys, but Once Upon a Time in Tokyo is boring. Fits the preferences of the guests there, but it can never, ever work in Orlando. But you went on to say they made the changes, and this one works really well. We actually didn't get a chance to talk about this. We'll have to do that next week, review it. But Disney Pete wrote in, nice, but not as nice as the original in Tokyo, Tom.
He literally did exactly what I said he was going to do.
Ryan wrote in, not as good as Tokyo. Where are the lasers?
It's literally not our only nighttime show. It's all they have there. We also still have wishes.
Dr. Evil wrote in, is it too much to ask for freaking sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their freaking heads?
Wow. That should have been a psychotic comment.
Well, it fit in there. Sleepy Hollow potatoes, gone. Gone.
Let me guess, they clickbait.
Clickbait filter 7000 wrote in. Clickbait filter initiated. Loading. 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 New non-clickbait headline generated. Baked potatoes now served at Sleepy Hollow refreshments. No longer available at Liberty Square Market.
That's too long. It wouldn't fit on Twitter.
Filter hates you. Halloween decorations on the monorail. Tom found the monorail cab full of cheesy Halloween decorations.
Party City threw up in the monorail.
And you made a big deal about this. You wrote a whole post about it.
I thought it was different. It was interesting.
Tired of the negativity wrote in. If it's fun for the cast members to do, that's good enough for me. Not everything has to solely be for the guest enjoyment, nor does everything need to be critiqued to death by blogging. Armchair Imagineers. Slow news day.
It was Halloween. It was a fun piece of content.
The famous Muppets Courtyard fountain in the Hollywood Studios is becoming a planter. Peter wrote in, the clickbait is strong with this one.
No, it's not. It became a planter. Did it not?
It did. It did.
That one I'm not letting.
Well, baked it became potato, a planter, but it's...
Baked potato definitely was clickbait.
No, but
I understand.
But it's going back to a fountain, so it was
it
a
is,
little...
It is, but we don't know when. It could be years.
It was a little bit of a clickbait.
I don't know about that.
We have lots more, but we're out of time. We'll do it next week.
Oh, boy. And remember, kids, nothing ends here. Our hopes and our journeys continue. Good night.